Okay, so I had this pain in my back and my neck. So I decided to go and just go see a neurologist. And so I went into the doctor and whatever, and he's running some tests and he's doing stuff. And he says, "You know what? We need to do an EMG test." I'm like, "EMG test? That sounds easy. Sounds like an EMT test, like an emergency medical technician. So they're gonna have some EMT come in and like test my arm, see how it moves or whatever." So like, okay, sure. So I make an appointment. I come back in thinking there's gonna be some EMT that's gonna do with some, "Hey, move your arm, test your little nerves here. Tilt your head." And all of a sudden, the doctor starts pulling out these giant needles and he starts sticking them all over in my nerves and my muscles and like listening for sounds. And like I'm telling you what the sound was me. Ah, you're sticking needles in my arm is what you're doing. That's just part of the problem when doctors have a language that patients don't necessarily speak, or that anybody else speaks. Who knows? How am I supposed to think that an EMG is a what's an electromyographic nerve test? Who knows that? Certainly not I. I'm just thinking it's going to be some nice little young guy testing and seeing how much I can move. That's exactly what we're talking about today, is what people say, what people mean, how that sounds, how software can fit in, and what doctors are thinking. Hi, everybody. I'm Darren.
And I'm Jeff. Welcome to the Voice Box. So today on the Voice Box, we have Ben Walker from Transcription Outsourcing. Ben, it's good to have you. Welcome.
Thanks, Jeff and Darren, for having me.
Okay, Ben, I got to find out, what exactly does transcription outsourcing do? What's your goal? What's your mission? What's the work that you guys do?
We provide transcription services for doctors, lawyers, law enforcement agencies, universities at 99% accuracy.
See, I needed you in my back pocket when I was there at the doctor when they said we're doing an EMG. I needed like your guys to be whispering in my ear, "By the way, Darren, this is not an EMT. They're going to be sticking giant needles in your arm." That would have been helpful. Could you come with me next time?
Sure.
Okay. I'll look forward to that. Did you start off purely in medical and now you've branched into a bunch of other stuff?
Exactly. A little over 15 years ago, myself and three other partners started a medical transcription company out of Omaha, Nebraska. And then I stayed in Denver and did sales out here and went to the medical conferences and did all that. We started to lose medical clients because of the changes in technology and healthcare. So I started to listen more often when a law firm would call or a police department would call and ask us if we could transcribe something for them. I did the research, found out that there were other worlds of transcription, and started looking online to see if we could find the transcriptionist to type it for us. Found out that there were tons of those too, and kind of started morphing that way because of, like I said, the changes in technology and healthcare kind of started eliminating the doctors dictating. So we were losing clients. I don't have a resume. I don't want to work for someone else. So I had to find a different way.
And discover the secret is branching out. Have you found the different fields that you are doing transcribing for? Have you found some fields, especially some of the ones that you're getting into now, not just medical, but the other ones, are some of them easier to do transcription for? Maybe, you know, do they have easier terminology and lingo that's not as EMG-ish that the average person isn't going to know?
That's complicated. Yes and no. So like we'll do focus groups for universities or VA hospitals. And sometimes the subject matter is very straightforward. And other times they'll bring up medical terminology or new drugs they're trying, or terminology that has to do with, let's say, military, because the VA hospital has obviously military ties. Then it gets a little more complicated. Yeah, it depends. Sometimes it's very straightforward. No one interrupts each other. They all speak slowly and clearly. Other times it can be insane where there's a witness to, let's say, a robbery or a homicide, and they're freaked out and they're yelling and screaming and dogs are barking and, you know, trains are going by and you can't hear anything. So yeah, it all depends on the situation.
Oh, so you might be transcribing a recording from like a police officer's body cam or something that's it's messy. It's right there in real life. It's not, you know, clean in a in a courtroom or in the police station or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. It's body cam footage, dash cam, undercover wires. You know, jail calls are often difficult to understand because the echo in the background, you know, jails usually have tons of concrete. And undercover wires get the clothes rustling around, or they put the microphone in their pocket and they're walking. You know, they're not ideal situations. Car windows are down. They're driving down the interstate, you know, things like that, where it's not, like you said, a controlled environment where there is no background noise.
My guess is at some point they would be able to filter out some of that background noise, just be able to hone in on the actual speech and the words. Because right now you're using 100% real person listening to that, trying to transcribe that and type those words in there. At what point do you think we will get to where technology will be able to catch up with an actual human ear? Do you have any guess?
I do, but I am not a scientist. So I'll give you my educated guess is in the 92% range. So the software would have to be 92% accurate or higher for us to edit it and be able to get it completed as quickly as if we were to just straight up type it and not use any editing. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So is that, and so the software is going to do like most of the work, and then a real human goes in and polishes it up and finishes it and makes sure there aren't any errors. Is that kind of it?
Yeah. At 92%, because every time you take your hands off the keyboard as a transcriptionist, you lose 7 characters every second your hand is off the keyboard. So when you're moving the mouse with your right hand or your left hand, you're losing 7 characters every second you have to go move that mouse to the new spot to fix it. So think about that. For every second, 7 characters, and they type really fast. And they know where to put commas, where to start new paragraphs, where, you know, the correct usage of there, and there, that the software doesn't necessarily know yet. I actually hope it will get there, because then I think we'll get more business, because there are people that don't use transcription because they don't want to pay for it. Like tons of court hearings that aren't transcribed, tons of police interviews that aren't transcribed, that we could use and pull more data out of that could help alleviate crime, tell the police where to go, how juries react to certain things that are said, that could help attorneys. Now, I don't know if we want to help attorneys, but you know what I mean?
You mentioned there's human error in all this stuff, certainly in medical. I found some cases of that. These are some cases of real people mishearing transcribing. So when a patient gets brought in, if they're almost about to die, they are an extremist. And so someone wrote down that they just brought in an extremist to the emergency room. Ah, like they're gonna blow up the place. The lab test indicated abnormal lover function instead of liver function. So yeah, maybe they're an abnormal lover. I don't know about that. There was someone who was a 49-year-old occasional male. It was supposed to be Caucasian male, but like they're just occasional male. Sometimes they're male. Sometimes they're not. My favorite, well, second favorite, history of sick as hell disease. It's supposed to be sickle cell disease, but I think we've all been there. I am sick as hell disease. And then exam of genitalia reveals that he is circus sized. So I don't know what circus sized genitalia is. I don't know, but that's just regular people trying to transcribe. So clearly there's some room for error in some of that. Do you think, and I know you're going for that 92%
on. Well, wait, hold on. Ben's going for 99% accuracy. He was saying the 92% is if the computers could recognize it at that level, then it's worth having them go first and having a person clean it up and get the next 7 or 8%.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I should have said that that's for a multiple person voice recognition. That's not a single person narrative.
Yeah. Yeah.
The 92% or above for an interview or a discussion like we're having right now is the one where we would need 92% or higher in order for it to be as efficient as just typing it straight away from the beginning.
Yeah. So do you know the story of John Henry? John Henry was like this guy. He was like, he'd like pound spikes into the mountain and they're building these tunnels. And so then like the technology came along and said, hey, we have these drill bits. We can do it faster. And so John Henry, so they had a big race, a big competition, and John Henry's pounding away with the hammer and the chisels, blah, 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 and trying to, and I think John Henry actually won the competition, but he was so exhausted. He died. That's the folklore. I don't know how much truth there is to that, but that just sort of makes me wonder. That's sort of like what's going on right now, where we've got John Henry, who are these real people who are typing 7 characters every second, and we've got software catching up and getting better and better. And at some point, that software is going to be there. So I sort of asked earlier, like, is it going to happen in a year? Do you think it's going to be in 2 years? Is it in 5 years? At what point do you think the pendulum will swing so that, that look on your face is like, ooh, I don't know. What do you think? Because you're in the thick of this. You know this.
And I've talked to a ton of voice recognition companies in the past 3 years. I haven't seen it get better in 3 years. And they have tons of data already. But again, I'm not a scientist either, so I don't know where that tipping point is. Voice recognition has definitely gotten better since it started in the 60s, right?
Yep.
It's 100% better than then, maybe 1,000% better. The critical mass, I don't know where that is. And I don't know if it's the computing power or the guys writing the algorithms because right now voice recognition is built on inferences. So if these 4 words are said, we think this is going to be the 5th word. And that's where a lot of the problems come in, because people don't speak as clearly as they like to think they do. We're talking about humans who don't always get it right. I know I've probably misspoken at least 25 times already. You know what? To answer your question, I don't know. I would think in the next 10 years, it would have to, because of computing power and technology like going so fast right now.
By the way, I have a little counter over here. It's only up to 17. You haven't misspoken 25. You were way below what you thought you were. It's only 17. So you're good to, you can make a bunch more mistakes right now and you'll still won't even be catching up to that 25.
Freebies.
Yeah. I don't, what do you think? Jeff has been in this industry longer than I have.
Yeah. Do you know what? You are dead on that. Speech recognition is based on these inferences of anticipating what the next word might be after you've heard a bunch of words, and combining that with an understanding of what language sounds like and how to put those together and so forth. There are some specialties within medical reporting, for example, where I think we're already well over that 92% threshold that you cited. For example, in radiology or pathology, the language in those reports are so predictable that we can get, you know, well over 95%. Of course, it depends on the person who's speaking, the doctor. How clearly do they speak? Do they have a heavy accent, and is it modeled well with the software and so forth? But you're right. Something like transcribing a police officer's undercover wire in a noisy restaurant, whatever. That accuracy is nowhere near the 92% threshold. Let me make 2 more points. The 92% threshold, different people measure a different threshold there. I've seen often 85 to 88% cited. And I think the difference is who's correcting it, how fast are they at correcting versus typing, how much do we pay them, and how much are we paying for the computing recognition? So there's a lot of different factors that could come in and affect that 92%, whether it should be a little more or a little less, depending on the person doing the work. But it's all very tricky. The other thing, Ben, that I want to point out on your behalf that computers can sometimes struggle with is you don't only have to get the words right, you have to format it right. You have to recognize when is a different person speaking, right? So you need to be able to say, like, if you're transcribing in a courtroom, the judge said this, and then the defense attorney said this, and then the witness said that, and you got to get those labels right. In order for a computer to do that, they need to not only recognize the words, but they need to recognize, oh, who said that? And maybe shift their anticipation, their expectation, those inferences that you talked about, based on who's speaking and so forth. So there's a lot of tricky technology that comes to bear when you're trying to transcribe either medical or law enforcement or legal proceedings or any other that you've mentioned.
Yeah, I would say the courtroom situation would be easier to master than, say, a police interview, because courtrooms will have 4-channel recordings.
Right.
So you can isolate.
If they do. I've talked to some places where they do have separate channels for each of the different speakers, and other places where they record it all onto one channel and then we have to tease it all out.
Ben, I got one more question for you. Since this is the voice box, if you had a genie in a box, you could open up this box and a genie pops out and will grant you any wish along the lines of what you're trying to do and what technology might be able to do. Is there something specific, not just like, hey, be better or whatever, but is there something specific you're like, oh, I wish we had this technology, or I wish the genie would grant me this? Anything come to mind? What would the genie in the box grant for you?
I think I'd first ask for a million more wishes. that's a good question. I mean, accuracy would obviously be the primary thing I'd want, because like I said, I think we would get busier. We would get more work that isn't being done now, that then the data can be utilized using artificial intelligence even more. Because I've talked to some of the companies out there about partnering with them, not necessarily to do the voice recognition piece because the accuracy isn't there yet, but to get data from it to then give to our law enforcement clients to say, we keep seeing this address, or we keep seeing this guy's name, or we keep seeing this tattoo mentioned on the intakes. Accuracy would be it, because then I think the industry would get bigger with the data analysis piece.
Yeah, more people are going to come banging on your door needing your help, because they're going to say, hey, it's working now, so help us out. And maybe it's that morphing from, you know, purely real person typing to gradually person and software. And maybe someday software on its own, maybe, you know, the jackhammer is going to beat John Henry. We don't need that. Although I think there's always that room for that, the human ear there to be able to stuff. And Ben, just in case you go to the doctor and he tells you need an EMG test, make sure you find out what the EMG test is before you consent to have him stick a bunch of needles in your arm. I'm just warning you ahead of time from my perspective. Got it?
I got it. I'm listening.
And Ben, on behalf of the entire voice technology community, let me tell you that we share your goal of what we want from that genie. We want better accuracy. And maybe we'll be able to work together with companies like yours to get there soon.
We'll be exploding. This thing will be taking off before you know it. Ben, thanks so much for being our guest on the Voice Box today.
You're welcome, Darren and Jeff. Thanks for having me.
See ya.
So Jeff, I got to find out. I was very intrigued when Ben was talking about like some of the technology, the potential, like a police report saying, oh, a certain address was used, or the tattoo or whatever. Seems like that could be pretty easy to do. Is that technology a little bit closer, maybe?
I think we're okay. That technology is definitely within reach. I don't know that anyone is really doing too much with that, but there are some business intelligence kinds of applications that are scanning text for common patterns and so forth. It's a challenge because if you and I were to describe the same tattoo, we probably wouldn't use quite the same words. In fact, they might be very different words. You've seen, you know, games like Pictionary or whatever, where you're describing a picture or trying to draw a picture of something from a description, and it can be a challenge. I think that is an interesting and nearer term application in this industry.
Okay, now let me get to the bigger picture. The whole idea, the future of transcribing, not just the medical field, but the legal and the university, all the things that Ben was talking about. How close are we to having, between the drill bit, the mechanical drill bit racing against John Henry, how close are we to that drill bit guy machine doing better than the actual human ear? What is your thought?
So there are two ways to look at this. One is, can we get the computer to actually beat the human? We're a ways away from that. We're a long ways away from that. The computer can be cheaper, certainly, but it we're a long ways from being more accurate than a human in most of these applications. However, where we are much closer, where we're already there, is to have the computer do our first pass of recognizing what was said, and then to have a human, sometimes called a correctionist or an editor, edit that and get to your final result. Now, there are many companies that are already successfully doing that, including some partners of Cobalt, that we've helped them build that technology. But that's different from John Henry and the steam engine directly competing, because it's a hybrid. Where we are is we have a hybrid computer and human producing the final output. And if you do it right, and if you build the correction software right, and if you train the people right, you already are at the point where for many, many applications, in most cases for medical and courtroom kinds of transcriptions, you already are more accurate with less effort, with lower cost, by including a computer in there somehow. But there are these really challenging cases that Ben mentioned, for example, of an undercover wire in a messy, you know, noisy restaurant or out on the street or whatever kind of setting, that the computers are going to really struggle with that kind of audio and those kinds of, for a number of reasons, with that kind of a recording. So I think we are a ways away from there. So the answer is, you know, when are we going to arrive there? Well, we've already arrived there for a hybrid solution in many applications. And there are really challenging solutions that are in the long tail that are going to take a long time to get there.
Love it. So in the meantime, we've got John Henry and the steam engine working together. At some point, that steam engine might be better, but right now, at least they're hand in glove, helping us get to a better solution. It's been fascinating hearing where the technology is and where it's going and how soon it is getting there. Thanks, everybody, for joining us today. I'm Darren.
And I'm Jeff. We'll talk to you next time.